selling this morning. The Dow down 76 more points. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I'm so glad that you joined us for another week of broadcasting here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We've got a number of discussions lined up for you, a number of folks that we're going to be bringing into the discussion, authors and reporters and a number of others as well throughout the week. Today's broadcast, we're going to zero in, of course. I don't think people would be surprised that this is on the agenda for the first broadcast of the week, but we're going to talk about the event that took place late last Thursday night after midnight, so Friday morning, early Friday morning in Aurora, Colorado. Of course, many people are aware of what took place there at that event, that horrific event where a number of people, a dozen people, have lost their lives and many more suffering in the hospital, that are some that are still, I think, considered to be in critical condition. And we've now, if you've been watching the news about this story at all, you've learned the names of a number of the victims, and you're starting to learn some about their stories as well. And there are a number of different elements to a horrific event like this that takes place. People question, all sorts of questions come before them, questions about the sovereignty of God and how we should respond to events like this, and all sorts of questions. One of the questions, however, that I think we need to deal with in a on the broadcast today is we need to deal with the concept of forgiveness. Very often after an event like this, some folks that are involved in the event will make a statement about forgiveness that Christians oftentimes feel uncomfortable with. I think the reaction from the news media is often, you know, just shocking. How can anyone express forgiveness for a person that has done such a horrific event like this, like the shooter in this case? And so they don't, they just express surprise and shock that anyone would be speaking about forgiveness at all. I think for the Christian, though, the question becomes whether more of one about appropriateness. Is this really the biblical response that's being articulated by oftentimes by brothers and sisters in Christ, those that know the Lord, and they have some sense in which they feel the need to express right in the very beginning of these events a forgiveness for the person that has committed these events. It's not limited to just this particular event. Just recently, another event took place where a couple of girls were abducted. I don't know. I haven't kept up with that story, so I don't know where that story is now, what the conclusion to that story, or if there's any more information about it. But the parents of the abducted children, apparently abducted, the parents of the victims stated that they, the parents, and God had forgiven anyone involved in that incident. They said this, quote, I want to say to them that my husband and I forgive them. She went on then to say that God has forgiven them already. So we have forgiven them, and we want our children back safe and sound. That's all we want. We don't even want to know who the person is. And of course, we can understand something, some level of the pain that these parents are going through. Just can imagine the weight that they're under and the pressure that they're under during this time. And we certainly pray that God would minister to their heart and bring answers to this situation. But we also need, as Christians, and especially as ministers of the gospel, to gently encourage them that God has not forgiven these perpetrators, if in fact they had actually abducted these little girls. Quite to the contrary, the righteous, eternal anger of God looms over them for the evil that they have done, the evil acts that they have carried out. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's a part of the gospel message. And by quickly proclaiming this unconditional forgiveness, we eliminate or do damage to that aspect of the gospel message. We're going to talk about this today. Let me first of all play a clip of one of the young people involved in the shooting in Colorado, Aurora, Colorado. And you can listen to some of the comments that he makes about the idea of forgiveness. He apparently professes the name of Christ. I don't know any more about his background than that. This is a news story talking where a reporter speaks to him. It's very short, but listen to the way that he addresses this area of forgiveness.
Morning, mixed with the sadness, there's a real sense of defiance, a conviction that one crazed gunman cannot and will not derail life for everybody. Right now, you're going to meet a man who was in the theater and has decided to make a symbolic gesture. ABC's Clayton Sandell has his story.
Justin Davis, a 16-year-old lifelong Bat fan, could not wait for the arrival of the Dark Knight.
I had a Batman belt and a Batman hat, but you know, I was all Batmaned out.
But Friday's tragic shooting cut Justin's experience short. Such a night of terror and death might make a lot of people think twice about stepping foot inside a dark theater ever again.
Are you afraid to go back?
No, I'm not.
But not Justin. Less than 24 hours after chaos and carnage turned countless lives upside down, he headed back to the movies with a sense of purpose.
Thank you very much.
With his brother and a friend, Justin went to a new theater last night to see the movie again, but this time, not just for themselves.
I just want to finish it. Number two is that for all those like men, women, and children that, you know, didn't get to finish it, I want to finish that for them.
And in a plot twist you might find hard to believe, Justin says his faith tells him the alleged killer, James Holmes, deserves forgiveness.
We should just forgive, and you don't know what he's going through, you don't know why he did it.
Forgiveness or not, Justin insists life should not be paralyzed by fear.
Just don't be afraid, you know, put yourself out there. I mean, you know, stuff happens, you know, in everyday lives, and we just have to overcome it and just rise.
For Good Morning America, Clayton Sandell, ABC News, Aurora, Colorado.
Well, there you could hear it then about midway or a little bit more into that story. Just forgive, you know, and obviously there's certain elements that we may agree with, you know, about not being paralyzed by fear and other things like that. But it's that part that we're zeroing in on the program today, this idea of just granting unconditional forgiveness. I titled the broadcast today on my website, I called it The Folly of Unconditional Forgiveness. Now, when you think about the subject of forgiveness, at least in my mind, one of the names that comes top of mind to me is Pastor Chris Bronze. He's written a book called Unpacking Forgiveness, Biblical Answers to Complex Questions and Deep Wounds. Chris is the senior pastor of the Congregational Christian Church in Stillman Valley, Illinois. And that book that I just described was published by Crossway. It's www.crossway.org. And I will give away a couple copies of this book during the broadcast today. So Chris is on the phone with us, and we wanted to get his insight into this subject of unconditional forgiveness. So, Chris, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, Chris, I laid it out there a little bit in the introduction, actually using your website and some of the comments that you've made on your website. And by the way, Let me tell our listening audience they can go there. It's www.chrisbronze, that's plural, bronze.com, and you can go there to find out, read these articles that I've been referring to. Chris, before we jump right into the idea of unconditional forgiveness, you rightfully point out on your blog, I think you refer to Dr. Albert Mohler's blog as well, that a number of different subjects come up when something like this happens, and we need to keep a number of things in mind.
Well, that's right. That's right. One of the first questions that comes up is, you know, why do these things happen? And we know that I often tell our people, like you, Kevin, I'm a pastor, and I often tell our people, we can't fit all of God between our ears. Mm. And so if we insist on trying to be able to do all the sums of why evil happens in a fallen world, we won't be able to do it. But having said that, we know this. We know that God is sovereign and that he is in control and that he's not uninvolved, that he is aware of these things. We also know that God loves us and that he's made provision for us to be redeemed from our sin, to be saved. And so we need to go to those things that we know to be true. And Dr. Mohler, in his post, and I do link to that, highlights some of those themes that are good things to talk about. If it helps helps the listeners, they can also just get to my site by going to unpackingforgiveness.com, and that'll redirect to my site.
Great.
So,
yeah,
we need to think about the big theological picture in addition to the specifics about forgiveness.
Let me just comment on the first part of what you mentioned there. The doctrine, basically, that we're talking about when we speak about the idea of comprehending God is the knowability of God.
Yeah,
and basically, we're talking about that the finite mind cannot fully comprehend an infinite God. Chris put it very good there. You can't understand God between our ears in our little finite, puny little minds. We cannot fully comprehend the infinite, almighty God. It's impossible. And yet, the scripture tells us that we can know God by what he has revealed to us. In fact, we must know him in some sense in order to be saved. So there's how we reconcile those two things. But then Chris moved from there to talk about, you know, the idea of the sovereignty of God. And in this particular case, we're dealing, Chris, with something known as the doctrine of the total depravity of man, which means that obviously that man in all of his parts is depraved, or every part of his being has been ruined by the fall. It doesn't mean that everybody is always as wicked or as evil as they possibly can be, that there is something called the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, no, that's right. That's really well said. Total depravity, complete lostness, doesn't mean we're as bad as we can be. In fact, unregenerate people, unsaved people, do many good things by God's general or common grace. So we often hear in these stories, like in this theater, of heroic actions that are taken by people who don't profess the name of Christ. But we understand in a biblical way that even those things are only by the common grace of God, that there's still enough of the image of God. People are still image bearers, and they still reflect the Creator in their heroism. And so, yes, there is the grace of moral restraint that God gives.
Yeah, I love that that entire topic of the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the Word of God, and I see it. We see it throughout church history, and I see it in my own life. Some of the harebrained ideas that I had, I thank God that he has saved me from myself on numerous occasions. And so it's certainly a wonderful doctrine that we can embrace and enjoy and thank God for.
Even in the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation.
Yes.
Lead me, God, I am a weak person. protect me from those situations where I would be inclined to fail. Not that it's God who's tempting,
mm-hmm.
but that, you know, we need God at work in our lives. So, yeah, that's a great thought.
Yeah, we just recently as a church went through the temptation of Christ, and we were doing some work in the beginning in the introduction of that series of looking at the difference between trials and temptations. And oftentimes a trial, a difficulty that comes into our life has temptations associated with it. Not from the hand of God, but that we could end up distrusting God in that trial and time, or finding a way out of the trial that's not a way that God has ordained. So because of the environment that we live in a sin-cursed environment. We have the remaining sin within us, the depravity of God. Although we're saved, there are still remaining elements of sin in our life. And the fact of the depravity of God is that we are all capable of doing these types of acts. It's not that this person was more capable of doing it than we are, but by the grace of God, we've been restrained.
Just to interrupt, you said the depravity of God. You mean the depravity of man,
I'm sorry,
right?
I meant the depravity of man, of course, yes.
Yeah. I knew that's what you meant, and I just thought we'll make sure that's absolutely clear.
Thank you.
The depravity of fallen man, the depravity of man.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I thank you for clarifying that, of course. In the last point that Dr. Moeller brought out, you recounted 3 points, the reality of moral evil in the fallen world, the grace of human restraint that we were just talking about. But his last point, and this is where you zero in and start to do the work about talking about forgiveness, is where Dr. Moeller mentions evil answered at the cross. So take it from there and lead us into our discussion today.
Well, the cross is so glorious and so incredible in what it shows us about who God is and what he accomplished there. And the reason that we gain such a beautiful understanding of the cross is, or of Christ at the cross, is that we see both God's justice and his love come perfectly together. When God made provision for the sins of his people, he didn't simply wink at sin or say it's okay or forget about it. No, because God is just, there's a penalty that has to be paid. And so we have the doctrine of the substitutionary atonement. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Quote, you know, Peter quoting Isaiah, by his wounds you have been healed. So we see the justice of God, that the forgiveness that God offers isn't a cheap forgiveness, that he's just and that sin requires a penalty. But of course we see the infinite love of God there as well, that he took in our place, and bore in his body in our sins, for God so loved the world, right? That he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him in our place. And so the cross shows us an understanding of forgiveness that emphasizes both the justice and the love of God.
Mm.
Now what you see in so many of these situations is people holding out a kind of cheap forgiveness that doesn't make any biblical sense at all. In fact, it doesn't even speak of justice. So in Colorado, when you have this young man who's clearly very brave and just gifted in how he expresses himself and so forth, but he said this, the offender deserves forgiveness.
Mm.
He deserves it. I mean, listen, that is not at all, as you know, Pastor, what the Bible teaches.
Right.
The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That apart from belief, John chapter 3 famously ends by saying, anyone who does not believe in Christ, the wrath of God abides on him. There's nothing in Scripture that would make us think that we deserve the forgiveness so that we deserve it. And it forgoes any sense of justice to say that's the case. So the cross emphasizes both the love and the justice of God, and we need to bring that to bear on these situations of horrific moral evil.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a great confusion about the concept of forgiveness in the Scripture. You were just addressing that, but many people in their mind seem to think of forgiveness that God just overlooks our sin. That he just decides, okay, now since you have prayed the sinner's prayer, now I'm not going to do anything about your sin. But that's not the concept of forgiveness that we find in the Word of God, right? I mean, that brings, as you're articulating, that brings irreparable damage to the concept or the doctrine of the justice of God. When we look at what took place at the cross, the justice of God was fully taken into consideration, and the justice for the punishment due to our sin was poured out upon Christ at Calvary, and then we get imputed, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. These are legal terms that are used here speaking about forgiveness. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. What has happened in our culture, in our highly individualized therapeutic culture, is that we've privatized forgiveness into simply how we feel about someone. So when people say, I forgive so-and-so, what they mean by that is, I'm not going to be consumed by bitterness and anger. I'm going to sort of get over it emotionally. Mm-hmm. The problem with doing that is now we've taken a biblical term, forgiveness, that deals with God's commitment not to hold our sin against us, and we've totally eviscerated it of its theological depth and made it into a private kind of feeling. And so it sounds good in the short run. When people say, well, you just need to forgive, what they're saying is you need to let go of it and forget it. But the problem is that it doesn't work like that. People who try and do that all of them may become hardened and embittered about it. We have to rest in the justice of God. That's how the Bible says it. Paul says, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. God will pay him back for it, and you too should be on your guard against him. Paul says, hey, this guy hurt me a lot. And Paul didn't say, it's okay, he deserves forgiveness, I forgive him, I'm just letting go of it. He said, no, God will take care of it. Same point he made theologically in Romans chapter 12 when he quotes Deuteronomy and says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I trust God for justice. I'm giving this over to him. God will take care of it. I don't have to take revenge. I can't take revenge. I shouldn't take revenge because justice and vengeance belong to God.
I'd like to point out to our congregation often that the idea of grace, the common definition of grace is just that it's unmerited favor. But I'd like to add to that and make sure that we think about it correctly. It's unmerited favor shown to those who are positively deserving of God's wrath. So they're not in some sort of an innocent position.
Yeah, right.
And then God shows grace to them. They've got, as you pointed out, the wrath of God is abiding upon us at that time when we're outside of Christ. And it's in that state then that the grace of God comes. So he has to deal with, he deals with the sin and the consequences of that sin, the judicial aspect of that sin is all dealt with. And I noticed that where grace is displayed then later on in people's life, like in the Philemon, where Paul uses the concept of grace then to encourage Philemon to forgive Onesimus. He doesn't just say, well, you should just forgive him. Paul says, if he has wronged thee and he owes thee anything, put it to my account. Same thing with the Good Samaritan, where again we see grace being displayed. The Good Samaritan takes the stranger who was beaten on the side of the road, takes him into the inn. But then he says, you know, if there's any charges, any charges associated with this, I will pay you when I return. So they don't just say, well, you should just overlook the payment that's there. A part of it is showing the love and to the person and extending grace,
yes.
but not without the payment being made as well.
Well, that's right. Those are two great references on your part. I think Philemon is one of the most neglected books in the New Testament.
Amen.
And it's a case study on biblical forgiveness. That's what it is. It's two Christians who are estranged from one another, and it's Paul working them through forgiveness and reconciliation. And the first principle of Christian forgiveness is that when we offer forgiveness, we always offer it, just as God always offers it, as we offer it, that we are willing to absorb the penalty deserved. I mean, that's what God did. When he forgave us, he did so graciously. Now, that doesn't mean that restitution should never be made, but it does mean, you know, if I do something at home that offends my wife, when she forgives me, she does so graciously that she is willing to absorb the hurt because she forgives me as God forgave her. And that's the first principle. Mm-hmm. But this idea, so we always offer forgiveness, we never take revenge, and we leave justice to God. But this idea of immediately and automatically saying, God forgives him, it's okay, he deserves forgiveness, does not fit in any way with biblical thinking. Mm. And by the way, it's not just killers in Colorado who are deserving of God's wrath, but all of us.
Yes.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And apart from the cross, we're, you know, unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's so critical in these situations that we call people to the cross and remind them of how forgiveness really works, rather than espousing this cheap, unconditional forgiveness that ultimately, I point out in a different post, leads to universalism, ultimately leads to the idea that everyone is saved, even if they don't call on the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Chris, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and when we come back from the break, we'll continue this discussion. Let me mention to our listening audience, we're speaking with author and pastor Chris Bronze. You can find out more about Chris, his background, some of his other blogs that he writes about, his book, which we're talking about today, called Unpacking Forgiveness. It's out at his website. That website is www.chrisbronze.com. That's chrisbronze.com. You're also welcome to participate in the program today. I'll give you the number and the email address when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
On the next edition of the Mike Huckabee Show, we'll talk with author Brendan Doherty about the rise of the president's permanent campaign. We know that presidents never stop campaigning, and those who wish to be president never stop campaigning. Is it good for the presidency, and is it good for the country and politics in general? That's why you don't want to miss, ever, the Mike Huckabee Show.
Today at noon on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Today, there are numerous documented accounts of individual students being disciplined simply for bringing a Bible to school. Fisher Ames would have been appalled at this open hostility toward the Bible. Fisher Ames was the founding father who authored the House of Representatives language for the First Amendment. In his day, he vehemently objected to any attempt to minimize the Bible at schools. In fact, he declared, "Why should not the Bible regain the place it once held as a school book? Its morals are pure. Its examples captivating and noble. The reverence for the sacred book that is thus early impressed lasts long, and probably, if not impressed in infancy, never takes firm hold of the mind. Founding Father Fisher Ames, the man most responsible for the wording of the First Amendment, believed that the most important school book was the Bible.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Don't we all want solid biblical resources we can trust when it comes to faith and family issues? Shepherd Press certainly qualifies. Shepherd Press is committed to providing God's people with solid biblical books and materials. They focus on heart issues rather than performance issues, authentic change that works from the inside out. At Shepherd Press, you'll find books, articles, and a regularly updated blog that will provide a forum for ongoing discussion of issues related to parenting and Christian living. For more information, go to shepherdpress.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about the idea of forgiveness on the broadcast today. And we're doing it in light of the shooting that took place recently in Colorado last week on early Friday morning. And there's a lot of different elements, of course, associated with that horrific event that can and should be discussed by believers as we think through this and think through it biblically. That's what we're called to do. We're called to help those that are round about us in our culture to be able to look at this from a biblical perspective. And so that's what we're doing on the broadcast today, and we're doing it with author and pastor Chris Bronz. Chris has written a wonderful book called Unpacking Forgiveness, Biblical Answers for Complex Questions and Deep Wounds. Obviously, it's a stark event that has taken place here. And when people talk about forgiving the shooter, it's shocking and it's very stark to us, and it brings it to the forefront. But forgiveness is an everyday aspect of the Christian life. I mean, we need to do this on a regular basis. I was looking on my website there on Sermon Audio, www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. And I saw that one of the featured sermons that was out there was about the issue of forgiveness. And it was a sermon that was preached by one of the pastors out there on Matthew chapter 18. So here's a different element, a different discussion about this subject. But yet we see that he's dealing with it because it is a part of the Christian life. We've got to understand this concept, and we've got to understand it from a biblical perspective. So we're talking through this on the program today. Now, there may be people in our listening audience that have questions or comments about this subject of forgiveness. I know I've got a few more on my list here that I would like us to go over as well. But if you do, if you'd like to participate in the program today, I'd like to, first of all, give you the ways that you can participate, but also give you a little bit of incentive to do that as well. We'll go ahead and give you a copy of this book. This book is, again, called Unpacking Forgiveness. It's published by Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. You can find out more. But if you would like a copy of this book while supplies last on the program here today, I will be happy to have one sent to your home for your participation in the program today. Two ways to participate. One, you can participate via the toll-free number that we set up. It's a good nationwide. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That equates to 1-888-660-9535. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll take your question and comment on the air via the phone line there if you'd like. Secondly, we also have an email account set up for this purpose, and that email account is very simply just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. I'd be happy to take your question or comment via that way as well. Either way, we'll get your mailing address and then send off a copy of this book to you. You get it in your mailbox. Chris, let's go back to our discussion about this issue. I noted that you actually have a post out on your website that says it's entitled Five Problems with Unconditional Forgiveness. We've talked about a few of these, so we may be able to go by a few of these pretty quickly. But a couple of them I don't think we fully developed in our discussion today. The first one says this: unconditional forgiveness builds bitterness. Elaborate a little bit on that point.
Sure. All of us have a standard of justice written on our hearts. Anybody who's ever raised more than one child knows that if you do something that one perceives as more than the other got, you'll hear the statement, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. You're not being fair. And that's because, as image bearers, we have justice. We're hardwired with justice. Now, if we tell people, if we told the mother, I think the youngest victim in Aurora, Colorado, was 6 years old.
Yes.
And if we told her parents, though I think her mom was also injured, but if we told them, well, you just have to let go of this regarding your six-year-old daughter and get over it, in the long run, that would make her bitter rather than giving her any peace about it ever. I think rather we say to her, listen, there's no getting off. He may have an insanity plea. He may jump through some sort of legal loophole in this life, any of those things that can happen. But very soon, he will stand before his Creator, and God is perfectly just, and God will take care of it. You can count on it. I think, and apart from that, people, a soft view of the justice of God makes for hard, bitter people. When we don't believe that God is just and we think that we're just victims, we very quickly become hard and bitter.
Well, that leads me to the second one as well, where you brought this out a lot, and maybe through the during the break you may have thought of another element that you just want to add. But unconditional forgiveness implies, and it leads to, universalism. Universalism is the teaching for our listening audience that everyone will be saved, and basically regardless of what you do, that God is just such a loving God that he will not condemn anyone to hell, and so everyone will be saved. But it's a topic, by the way, that had kind of gone out of vogue in our day and age, but there's kind of a resurgence that has just come back recently. This idea that love wins out, I think with Rob Bell and others, all of a sudden this came back to the forefront again about the topic of universalism. Chris, you would say that this does tremendous damage, this unconditional forgiveness. It seems to imply this, and it leads to building up universalism.
Well, that's right. That's right. What we believe about how people are forgiven ultimately gets read back into how God forgives. And so when this teaching is espoused that everybody deserves forgiveness regardless, very quickly that is read back into the doctrine of how God forgives them. So when this young man in Colorado, and I feel for him, I mean, I have sons his age who was in the theater, says that the shooter is deserving of God's forgiveness. And maybe it was the commentator that said that, whoever said it, when people say that he's deserving of forgiveness, you see, that's a universalist statement. The implication is there that everyone will be saved regardless of whether or not they receive by faith the gift of eternal life. Unconditional forgiveness really is synonymous with universalism, with the idea that everyone is saved. I mean, we should say to our listening audience, if you don't return to Christ and put your faith and trust in him, you're not forgiven of your sins. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, John 1:12. Doesn't say to everyone, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name.
Yes, well said. I remember with Dr. R.C. Sproul, he was walking down the hallway at a seminary or at a school that he was teaching at, and somebody said, "Hey, brother, are you saved?" And he took a couple steps past him as he was just down his way to a class, and then he stopped and he turned around and he asked the person, he said, "Saved from what?" And in the beginning, the person stumbled a little bit. He had asked the question so often, but I don't know if he really had thought through it himself. And R.C. went on to elaborate a little bit on what he meant. He said, at the end of the day, we are actually saved from God. We're saved from God's wrath that is upon us, so we're saved from God himself. So in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see this remarkable thing taking place, where God's mercy and God's justice are reconciled in the cross. Both of these two things are brought to bear. It's just mind-boggling and astounding and amazing and glorious the way that he works this out. So it's so important that we get this correct when we understand as we articulate the subject of salvation. We got a question from a listener today. I'm going to ask it anonymously, but the listener asked this. It's a woman, and she says, how does one handle a relationship and forgive when someone is close to you and hurts you over and over again? So that concept of, I can almost hear Peter saying, you know, should we forgive 7 times or 70 times, 7 times, you know? So how do you deal with a situation like that where the person may say they forget, they repent of it or say they're sorry, but they keep doing it over and over again?
Right. Well, there's so much to that question. Of course, assumptions you have to make. But if the person's repeatedly doing the same sort of thing, that implies in some sense that there isn't true repentance. But either way, at least 3 things. Number one, show love. Proactively show love. Romans 12, 17 to 21. That's one of the first thing that Paul says. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Let love be genuine. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to never take revenge. Never take revenge. You know, we all have subtle little ways that we take revenge. Even if it's just being a little quiet or stony with our spouse, maybe it's just slightly shutting a door a little bit hard. But for the Christian, revenge is out. We can't seek to repay evil with evil. The third thing is to entrust the matter to God. Now, after that, a lot of it depends on the gravity of the situation. I mean, it's one thing if what the person does, you know, it's your husband, and every single day he leaves his cereal bowl out and never rinses it out. Okay, so that's one matter. Of course, it's far different if it's some sort of abuse or whatever. And Christianity does not mean that you continually subject yourself to that sort of thing. That's why unpacking forgiveness is no small topic. If someone's in that situation, they need to get biblical input very soon. See their pastor. In fact, people often write to me and or, you know, call me or get a hold of me with forgiveness questions. And the first thing I say to them is, do you have a church home where the word of Christ is proclaimed and you have a pastor and you have biblical elders? Do you have those things? First thing you say, because radio conversations are very short and very general, and we wouldn't want to imply the wrong thing.
Right. I listened to one of those broadcasts many, many years ago where the host, it was a youth one, but people were calling in with questions, and I couldn't get over how quickly he gave what was, you know, put forth as the ultimate solution to what was being questioned. And I was like, I kept thinking about the verse in Proverbs that basically says, a fool judges the matter before he knows the whole of it.
Right. And the first to present his argument seems right till the other comes forward and examines him, Proverbs says. But, you know, that's where you need pastors, you're a pastor, I'm a pastor, who know the flock, who shepherd them, who listen, who speak into their lives. But there does, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean the elimination of consequences. I said that one time, I've said that more than once, where people have gotten really agitated when I said that. And I said, now, wait a minute. I'm a pastor. If I robbed the bank in town and I was repentant, my people would forgive me. But I couldn't continue to be the pastor of our church.
Right.
You know, forgiveness doesn't mean the elimination of the consequences. I would be disqualified from ministry. If someone in your church repeatedly steals money from the church, then they have to face the consequences, and I would suggest that they not be elected church treasurer.
Yes.
Going out on a limb there. Yeah. And so that's where you need biblical wisdom to show how to unpack forgiveness, as I say, in a very complicated world.
Well,
by the way, Kevin, when I say unpack forgiveness, my title is Unpacking Forgiveness. I mean that in two ways. Number one, understanding theological truth about forgiveness. And number two, bringing that to bear and actually living it out.
Amen.
I work on both those things in Unpacking Forgiveness.
Amen. You're very brave there, going out on a limb about that treasury situation, too. We've used the word repentance a couple times. I just want to give the listening audience just a brief little, that's a program in and of itself, but a simple outline for me that I like to use is that 3 points. It's realization of our sin. There's so much blame shifting in our life and society today that I did it because of my environment or whatever. So we need to realize that we have sinned when we sin against someone. Second is a regret for our sin, you know, that we're truly sorry that we have sinned, and take a little bit of time to really, have remorse for it and really feel sorry. And then the last point that Chris was talking about here, I think elaborating on, is the idea of a repudiation of our sin, that you take steps to never do it again. You know, everything is not the way it was before. There was sin that was committed here, and certain steps need to be put in place in order to, so that this doesn't get repeated over and over again, and we enter into one of those situations. Chris, I want to go back to the list, but before I do, we mentioned this word a couple of times, and I wanted to ask you about it. The whole concept of offense. I remember years ago, my wife and I, there was a couple. We don't associate with this particular couple anymore, but many, many years, 25 years ago. And we would go over their house, and they would then shortly after we came home, we'd get a phone call, and they would say, you know, when you're here, this offended us and this offended us. And this was every time we went, literally. And people will say, well, I'm offended by, and they'll talk about something else. I'm offended by the fact that the church takes an offering or something, you know. So what about this whole concept of offense? Are we looking at being offended the right way? Are we looking at it the way the Bible speaks about somebody being offended?
That's a great question. I have a chapter on that in Unpacking Forgiveness. Should I just get over it? I mean, the Bible says, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. It sounds as though your friends that you knew a long time ago, those were the only verses they knew. But Scripture also says, Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It's to his glory to overlook an offense. Or Peter says, love covers over a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And if we confronted every single thing that came up, we would all have very long lives. So the question is, how do I know when to confront and when should I just get over it? And I suggest several, you know, questions to ask. Mm. Ask the question, in my book I say, have I examined myself yet? You know, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, don't talk to your brother about the speck in his eye when you have a beam in your own. Second, ask yourself, am I sure that I'm right? Maybe it's just something that you were overly sensitive about. Third, ask, how important is the issue? You know, if it's just some trivial thing that doesn't really matter, then just get over it. Fourth, ask, does this person show a pattern of this kind of behavior? You know, if someone's late to your house one time, let it go. If they're late to your house 50 times, then maybe you should say, you know, every single time you are, there's a pattern. So ask that question. I say before confronting, ask, you know, what do wise people counsel me to do? Be careful of that one because it can lead to gossip, you know, getting people's opinion about an offense. And finally, ask what else is going on in the other person's world. I remember one time someone jumped all over me about something at church, but the person had just found out that they had cancer. He had cancer. And I thought, you know, love covers over a multitude of sins.
Right.
He's got a lot of things going on in his world. Now is not a time where I need to call him up and say, you've offended me. Now, if it kept happening, that'd be another issue, but that was the end of it. So, yeah, we have to ask those wise questions. How do I, when do I confront, and when do I just let it go? And you know what? Most of the stuff in our local churches, honestly, you know, you're offended because somebody didn't eat your bean salad at the church potluck dinner. You know, listen, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Love covers over a multitude of sins. Just get over it.
Yes.
And so that's something that we could talk about a long time.
Yeah. You know, the scripture speaks about us bearing with one another. You know, there's a sense in which you're putting up with each other. They're not going to have the same likes and dislikes as you have. It actually is both, it's remarkable, but amazing, the mosaic of people that the Lord puts together in churches, different backgrounds and different types of personalities. And it can be a very beautiful thing when it's put together, or if you allow it to, it could be a very difficult thing to live through if we're not showing grace and mercy and extending that type of attitudes towards other people. Very quick. In fact, maybe I better just jump right to this. I normally run the guests right up to the music start. I won't do that to you, Chris. I was going to ask you about number five with the idea of reconciliation, but let me just leave it with this. If that's what you want to address in the end here, that'd be fine. But just your final thoughts. We have about 2 minutes left. Your final thoughts on the entire subject that we've been talking about today.
Well, if you're someone who has a major forgiveness issue in your life, maybe you were abused or hurt terribly, and the person's never been repentant, then I would point you to Christ. You know, so many people are afraid of what the Bible will teach about forgiveness, but you don't need to be afraid of what Jesus teaches about forgiveness. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls." Go to Jesus, take your burdens, bring them to the cross. It is a weary thing to live with deep wounds in our hearts, and to try and do it without Christ. Only Jesus and his word and the cross, those are the only ones who can unpack forgiveness.
Chris, well said. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Thank you for speaking about this current event that took place. And thank you so much for writing this book. I pray that the Lord would mightily bless your ministry and all that you've been doing about this particular subject. We really appreciate it.
Well, Pastor Kevin, thanks so much for having me. I'm really privileged to share the time with you.
Okay, thank you. That was Chris Bronze. Chris is the author of the book that we've been talking about today on the broadcast. I recommend you get a copy of the book. I have a copy right here in my hand. Believe me, in this life, the things that Chris speaks about and teaches about in this book are going to come into play at some point during your life. You're going to have to know how to forgive people, how to express forgiveness, how to talk to others about forgiveness. I can guarantee you this is going to take place. If you're breathing, you are going to need to understand something about the subject of forgiveness in this life. That's how prevalent it is in our life today. So I would recommend that you get a copy of this book. You can get it out at Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. You can go out to their website in order to find out more Chris's website, by the way, it, once again, is www.chrisbronze.com. That's chrisbronze.com. And so if you go out there, you'll see not only the specific subject that we're talking about today, but other things that Chris is blogging about as well. His website is referred to as a brick in the valley because he's a pastor in the valley as well. And I mentioned that at the beginning of the broadcast at the Congregational Christian Church in Stillman Valley, Illinois. So you can go out there to find out more about Chris and some of the things that he's writing about. Again, the website is www.chrisbronze.com, and you can go out there to find out more. We'll be back tomorrow speaking with World Magazine on the beginning of the program. I think Mindy Bells will be my guest on the first part of the broadcast tomorrow, so you won't want to miss that. Remember this, in all of these issues, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and now also heard on FM 92.9.